Let me invite you to turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. The book of Joshua chapter 1, as we begin a new series called Advance. I love reading through the book of Joshua. I love Deuteronomy as well. But what I love about Joshua is here we have this call, here we have this epic moment in the history of Israel where they've been wandering around in the wilderness because of their own disobedience. And finally, they're going to come into the promised land. God has called them to advance, to move in, to begin taking possession of their inheritance, the very thing that God is giving them. And this call on them that's recorded in the book of Joshua as they come in, we call it the conquest, as they come into this promised land, you need to realize this is a mission of confrontation. They're coming into a land that's already inhabited. People are already there. It's a land that really is theirs. They have a rightful claim on it because of who God is and what God has promised and what God has done. And as they come into this promised land, they're to come in a fashion that we would describe as being bold. They're boldly to take this promised land, to come into it. And there's a lot we can learn as a Church of Jesus Christ, as we too are kind of just outside the promised land. We too are just on the other side of the new heavens and new earth. The kingdom has already started kind of coming, but it's really not here yet. And so the church is in a very similar place to what we find Israel in the book of Joshua. So I hope you'll see some parallels, and hopefully we'll learn from Joshua how we can be faithful and we can advance the kingdom here in our community, in our age. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Look with me there now. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come again to praise you, to thank you. We come to ask that you would work in our hearts now, even as we've gathered to worship you. We pray that your Spirit would have its way with our hearts, applying your word to the very crevices and dark places, Lord, that you would confront unbelief and that you would increase our belief, that you would help our faith. Lord, we want to advance. We want to see your kingdom advance in our lives, in our community, in our world. And so we pray, Lord, that you would bless us, your people. Direct us, equip us, empower us to attempt great things for you and your kingdom. We love you, Lord. We praise you. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, when we think about this first section of the book of Joshua, again, the people are called to come in and advance the kingdom. They're called to come in and advance the territory to take the promised land. And if you notice, it probably stood out to you as you read Joshua 1, 1 through 9, something that's repeated three times: be strong and be courageous. Or we could say you need to be bold. Be bold. Being bold means being brave, being resolute, being heroic. It means being strong. It means being courageous. Being bold doesn't mean being obnoxious. Does it mean being arrogant? That's not what being bold means, but it means being strong and being courageous as you advance the kingdom of God. Maybe to help you understand what it means to be bold, let's look at some opposites. So what is not bold? Shy, bashful, timid, diffident, passive. That's the opposite of bold. That's the opposite of what we're called to. That's the opposite of what the Lord instructs Joshua and the people here to be. He says, be strong and be courageous. Now, some of you think, yeah, but he's telling Joshua that. He's telling Joshua to be strong and courageous. Yes, he's telling Joshua to be strong and courageous, but he's also telling all of the Israelites, because the you that he uses here is plural. In the South, we would say y'all, right? Y'all be strong and courageous. You be strong and courageous. All of you, all of Israel, be bold, because you're going in to advance the kingdom. Now, here's the key to advancing the kingdom. Here's the key. To advance the kingdom, you have to advance the kingdom in your heart. You have to advance your faith in God, and then you're more equipped and prepared to advance the faithfulness to God as you engage the community around you. It's pretty simple. And so as we think about this call of confrontation, Joshua and the Israelites are called to confront those, the Hittites and the Canaanites living in the land. We are called to confront those in our community and our world. Confrontation isn't always conflict. It doesn't mean there's always yelling. It doesn't mean you have to like get in your neighbor's face. But you're called to confront them with the love of Christ, showing and sharing it, telling them the good news of Jesus Christ. But before that happens, this is what I want you to see. The Word of God must confront your own heart. You have to be confronted with the kingdom of God, even as you seek to confront those around you with the message of the kingdom of God. Advance your faith that you might advance your faithfulness. So we're going to see a couple of things in this passage that are going to help us to do that. Number one, I want you to be bold because of God's promise. Be bold because of God's promise. Number one. Verse 1 starts off, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Two things stand out there. Number one, Moses is dead. Moses, the lawgiver. Moses, the one that led them out of Egypt. Moses, the one who would pray and manna would come down. Moses, the one that would pray and strike a rock and water would come out. This Moses that's been their leader for years and years and decades has now died. Now Joshua is their leader. Joshua, who is specifically not Moses. I love that it points that out, right? It helps Joshua stay humble. All right. Moses, the servant of the Lord, has passed away. But now the Lord calls Joshua Moses' assistant. This is a devastating loss for Israel. Devastating. We see this with churches today. There are many churches that get very large, and they're built around sometimes a very large a pastor with a very large personality, maybe a very large ministry, and the church grows really large around this one pastor. And then when that pastor resigns, retires, maybe passes away, oftentimes the church just kind of falls away. We just have a tendency, right, to follow leaders with big personalities, with a certain charisma. We follow them. Moses certainly had that. He was empowered by God. This was a devastating loss for the Israelites. But what the Lord wants them to know right off the bat is Moses didn't do it. It wasn't Moses who really led them out. It wasn't Moses who really delivered them. It wasn't Moses that really fed them in the wilderness. He was a conduit. God used him to do that, but it was the Lord God who did all those things. And even though Moses has passed away, the mission remains. God will use someone else, Joshua. Joshua will take his place, and the mission remains, and you need to go into the promised land. Arise. Arise and cross this river. Arise and go over this Jordan. Go into the land that he says, look, verse 2, into the land that I am giving to them. Who? To the people of Israel. God is calling the Israelites to press on, to move on, to keep going, to take hold, to have this new beginning. Moving into the promised land. Acting on the promises of God. God said, I'm giving you all that land. Now they need to go get it. And this is huge. This is why you need to be bold. The United States Army has a lot of manuals on all kinds of things. They'll tell you how to do everything you need to do, from the smallest thing to the biggest thing. And on their survival manual, it states that the two biggest threats to a soldier who is behind enemy lines, the two biggest threats to him is this kind of innate human kind of craving for comfort. They realize that a soldier who maybe gets lost from his unit, is somewhere behind enemy lines, he craves comfort. And so if he can find a place and find some sense of comfort, he'll stay there. And that's not good. So that's number one enemy to them surviving, is this desire for comfort. The second enemy is a sense of passivity. I'll just sit and wait. I'll just wait. I serve the greatest nation in the world, I'm part of the greatest army of the world. That army will come and find me, so I'll sit and wait. Those are the two greatest dangers for a soldier behind enemy lines. We know that that's, in a sense, one of the biggest dangers for the church of Jesus Christ and for the people of God. This is the book of Joshua. You guys are familiar with the Old Testament. You know what's happened. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 or so years. An entire generation has died off. They're experts at camping. That's all they've known. They can set up the tents. They can tear down the tents. They can grill all the food they need. They're experts at it. They can become very comfortable in the wilderness. But that's not the calling. God has bigger plans and purpose for them. They can't just sit back and be passive. And they can't just sit back and be comfortable and wait for the promised land to come to them. They can't. They have to be active. They have to be bold. They have to act on the word of God. They have to believe it and put it into practice. They have to arise and cross over this Jordan. They have to be bold and believe the promise of God. Now, I want to do something. I want you to turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Just like one book in your Bible. So turn back to Deuteronomy 11. This is really important, or else I wouldn't take the time. Deuteronomy 11, verses 24 and 25. This is the Lord's promise to Moses in Deuteronomy and to the people. This is many years before Joshua. Deuteronomy 11, verse 24 and 25. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Your territory shall be from the wilderness to the Lebanon and from the river Euphrates, to the western sea. No one shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will lay the fear of you and the dread of you on all the land that you shall tread, as he promised you. So even there in Deuteronomy, you see that God had already promised before this land, and you know he promised it to Abram earlier, even in the book of Genesis. Now flip back to Joshua, verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Sound familiar? It's the exact same promise of God. The promises of God do not fail. They do not change. And the Lord is calling on Joshua, believe this promise. Joshua's like, we haven't entered the promised land yet. We've been wandering around the desert for 40 years. I know kind of where the promised land is, but it's a long way off. And if I recall, the people who live there are like giants and they have fortified cities and we're just some desert wanderers. The Lord promises him the same thing that he promised Moses, which goes back to the same thing that he promises Abram. The people are called to take possession of the promised land, to engage, to participate in the process that the Lord is carrying out to fulfill his purpose. Do you get that? Do you get that, that you're called to participate in the Lord's will and his purpose in the community around you? You are. You're called to do that. And guess what? It involves confrontation. It just does. None of us like confrontation. I mean, people who like confrontation, they have something wrong, right? We medicate them and we have special institutions for them. But most of us don't like confrontation. I've had a lot of confrontation. That's just part of my calling as a pastor. And I don't like it. But it's part of it. That's why verse 5 says, no man shall be able to stand before you. You're going to have to go in and confront people. So verse 6, be strong and courageous. You must be strong and courageous. You must be bold. Listen, church, you are called to go into your neighborhoods, to go to your neighbor, to go to your coworker, and you have to confront them with the truth. You just have to. The gospel that we proclaim is a spoken gospel. It is good news. It can't be communicated in just action. You can't say, well, I give them a cupcake every morning on their desk. Surely they know Jesus loves them. Are you kidding me? They think you love them. You have to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ with them, and that is by nature confrontational, because one thing sinners generally don't like is being told they are sinners. Now, so again, being bold doesn't mean being obnoxious. I'm not saying wear the sandwich board. I'm not saying you need to go around pointing your finger telling people they're going to go to hell. I'm not saying you do that. You show the love of Christ and share the love of Christ. We can work on how to do that in a loving way. You want to be a light to them. Not that just drives them away. But it is by nature confrontational. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Be bold, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. And you are going to cause it to happen. It's going to happen through you. So go, arise, go, be bold and go. It's not your own abilities. Here's the problem. When you start thinking about witnessing to someone, you start thinking about your own abilities. You start thinking about your own knowledge. You start thinking about your own doubts. How can I answer somebody else's doubts and questions? I'm struggling myself. What if they ask about dinosaurs on the ark? I don't know how to handle that. Well, here's the thing. You're not called to be a witness of dinosaurs on the ark. You're called to be a witness of Jesus' love, death, and sacrifice for the sins of mankind in his resurrection. And I'll give you all kinds of ways to answer those questions. Let the ark and the dinosaurs come later. But that's not part of them hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not up to your personality. You say, well, I'm quiet. I'm just kind of a shy person by nature. Okay, I get that. So it's going to be hard for you. But be bold, be strong and courageous. Yeah, but how do I do that? I'm so shy. Believe in the promise of God and act on it. Be active. Put it into practice. Test it. Your confident assurance in who God is and what He tells you produces boldness. How you think, how can I be bold? I'm such a timid person. Read the Word of God and believe the Word of God. He says he is with you. He will never forsake you. No, he tells Joshua that. No, in the New Testament, he tells you that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. He will never leave you or forsake you. Believe his promises. He is building his church. One of Christ's promises that I continually go back to is from John chapter 15. And Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you," and what? "And I appointed you to go and bear fruit." Oh, hear that, beloved. But if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you have been chosen and you have been sent and appointed to bear fruit. That's His purpose in your life. But it's going to happen as you are bold and you act on His promises. You act on His Word. It's Father's Day, and I can still remember when I was just a wee little child, knee-high to a grasshopper. You guys know that phrase, right? Knee-high to a grasshopper? Is that, that's not a north, that's a, you know that, okay. Good. So my dad used to take us out to this, it was like an abandoned dam. And then beyond this dam, there were these rocks that the river had formed. We called them hopscotch rocks. I wish I could have found a picture, but it's like in the middle of some river in Alabama. And you had to go through like over the hills and through the woods like Grandma's place. And there was this spot where we had to row in a canoe and climb up this wall and jump over the wall. And we had to jump down like 35 feet. Okay, remember, I was just a little kid. It was probably like 5 feet, right? But I was a little kid. And I'm like, I'm just clinging on to this wall, right? And I'm so scared. My dad's standing there, and my dad's like this. He said, "Come on, I'll catch you." Well, I had a crisis of belief. Is my father going to catch me, or is he not going to catch me? What do I believe? I'm terrified. But my father says he will catch me. Am I going to believe he will catch me? I ended up believing it. You know how you could tell I believed it? Lynn, I jumped believing he would catch me. Brothers, sisters, you've got to jump. You've got to act on God's Word. He is with you. He will not forsake you. He has called you to speak His truth into the lives of those around you. Where you work, where you live, your own family, God has put you there. He's weaved you into the fabric of others' lives so that you can speak His Word into their life. And you think, "I'm scared. I know they hate Jesus. I know that they know my background. I know that they're gonna have sarcastic comments for me, and I know how those things can hurt." You know what? Be bold. Be bold. Doesn't mean you have to be obnoxious, but be bold and speak and share the truth. I believe this is probably the reason so many churches are dying in the United States, is because so many churches are comfortable in the wilderness. Listen to me. Listen to me. This world is not your home. I was out yesterday prayer walking, looking around. Such a beautiful day. Hawk flying in the sky. Maybe a couple clouds here and there, gentle breeze, sun shining, hills. Beautiful day. This world is not my home. It isn't. But we get so comfortable in it. We want to have paradise here and now. And we get comfortable. Listen, this is not your home. You are behind enemy lines. And you're called to confront. You're called to assault the world of unbelief around you. Yeah, but how do I do that, Pastor? Be bold. Again, I'm not telling you, you've got to stand up in the middle of ShopRite. You've got to like stand up inside the cart table thing with the tomatoes and like get everybody's attention and preach Jesus. I'm not saying that's what you have. You don't have to do that. In fact, don't do that. But you show and share your love with your neighbor. You ask them a question. "Hey, do you know God loves you?" I love asking people that. "Do you know God loves you?" I mean, how threatening is that to them? You're telling them God loves them. And they're like, "Yeah. Do you know how much God loves you?" See what I've done? Do you know how much He loves you? I mean, I don't know. He gave me this job. He loves you so much that he was willing to crush his only son. He killed Jesus Christ. Did you know that? God's the one who really killed Jesus. Do you know why he would do that? What? I've never even heard this. What do you mean? See, you get in a conversation that way, and you're confronting their unbelief by being a light and being bold and just sharing the love of Christ. Church, you're called to do that. We have to, if we're going to advance the kingdom of God in this community and beyond, you are the ones that are going to do it. It's not me. I mean, I've got a part to play, but my biggest part to play is equipping you to do it. You're the church. Be the church. Advance the kingdom and be bold, believing His promise. He has appointed you to go and bear fruit. Christ is building His church. He will do it through you. Let us, new beginnings, listen, never let this become us that we're so comfortable. Never let us become the unengaged. Never let us become the indifferent. Never let us become the passive. That just is not us. We are committed to be bold and advance the gospel in our communities. Believe His promise. Church, believe His promise. It's for you. Be bold, secondly. Be bold, number one, and believe His promise. Secondly, be bold because of God's provision. Because of His provision. I love this. It's not just His promise. God is, He's given us His word, but He's done more than that. He backed His word up. His provision. Look at verses 7 and 8. Only be strong and very courageous. That's the second time He says it. Being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Uh-oh. Already we're in trouble. Already Israel is in trouble. But keep going. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Uh-oh. Do you feel it? 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Oh well. We had a good start. Things were looking pretty good. We were almost in the promised land. We almost had it. But then God added this perfect obedience clause. And there goes our victory out the window. He calls His people to be faithful, to obey His word, not to turn from it to the right or to the left. Guys, this is consistent covenant language, right? You've read this before. This is in Genesis. This is in Deuteronomy. This is in Exodus. This is later on in the prophets. This is God's covenant call. You're in a covenant with me. I have a covenant relationship with you, God says. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you all this stuff. Just make sure to do everything that it says. Because if you don't, it's not going to go well for you. But if you do, you're going to have success and prosper. None of us, not Joshua, not Caleb, none of them meet that. None of them can do that. In fact, you know how the rest of the book of Joshua goes. How's it go? How does the rest of the Old Testament go? If they were to go in and drive out all the inhabitants, what did they do? Not that. They weren't to intermarry with them. What did they do? Not that. They were to conquer the peoples. They were not to make covenants with them. What did they do? Made covenants with them. The book of Joshua later on says that all of the land, all the promises of God about the land had been fulfilled. And some people get worked up about that. But wait a minute, they really hadn't. Well, they had in that the people were in the land and had been kind of deposited, and all they had to do now was just finish the work. They were there. The land was as much theirs. They just had to finish driving people out. But they didn't do that. What they need is someone who would not turn to the right or to the left. They needed someone who would be careful to do all of the law. They needed someone who would meditate on the law day and night. Anybody here? Any volunteers? This is consistent with Psalm 1. Everybody familiar with Psalm 1? Psalm 1, 1 through 3. The promise of the one who keeps the law, how things will go well for them. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. That's what they need. They need that tree guy to get them into the promised land. The only way that people were going to be able to go into the land and begin to take possession of the land according to promise is if they did so following all of the law of Moses. Kind of reminds you of Adam and Eve. The only way Adam and Eve were going to stay in the garden and enjoy a long life was if they did so by obeying the law of the Lord and not eating of the tree that has the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And they couldn't do that. The land never really became totally theirs because they never really kept all of the law of Moses. Because of their covenant unfaithfulness, which was prophesied, by the way, that didn't catch God by surprise. In Deuteronomy, he says, this is going to happen. He said, I'm going to bring you into the land and you're going to blow it. And I'm going to have to punish you. I'm going to bring other countries in. I'm going to do all this work because you guys are simply the worst. Would maybe be how we would say it today. In fact, once they actually kind of get in the land and start their own kind of army and have their own kind of kingdom, they reach their zenith under King David. Right? And maybe Solomon comes right behind him, and Solomon has a great kingdom as well. But listen, it soon deteriorates from there. It's torn in two. God soon brings in the Assyrians and the Babylonians to punish them and take them into exile, into the wilderness again. The people go back into the wilderness because of their covenant unfaithfulness. Joshua. The name Joshua in Greek is Yeshua. That sound familiar? The name Joshua in the New Testament is Jesus. The name Joshua means Yahweh saves. That's what it means. Jesus comes along as the true and better Joshua. Jesus comes along much later. He comes along to be the Psalm 1 man who meditates on the law day and night. He comes in to be the Joshua 1:7 man who is careful to do all that Moses commands. He keeps all of the law. Jesus was perfect because he perfectly obeyed everything for us in our place so that he could die as a sacrifice, taking the punishment for our sin. He does all the good things we were commanded to do but could never do. Jesus does all that for us. And then for all the bad things we did, Jesus takes our place and receives the punishment we deserve. This is God's provision in Jesus. So when you think about advancing the kingdom of God here and now in this community through this church, you need to understand that advancing the kingdom is not based on your performance. It isn't. It's not a matter of you being careful to do all that is commanded in the book of Moses. It just isn't. Yes, I'm not saying we're not called to walk in holiness. We are. We're called to walk in holiness. I'm not saying we're not. But we're not called to have to earn all the good things that come. We're not called to have to obey all the laws so that things will go well for us. Christ fulfilled all those laws for us. We obey the Lord out of love, not out of a sense of fear, not out of a sense of I have to to earn it. I have to make my own way. I have to establish my own righteousness. You can be bold in advancing the kingdom in the community because Jesus paid for the fruit. Jesus paid for the fruit. Did you realize this? That your own faith that you have in Jesus Christ is the fruit of the cross of Christ? And any conversation you have with someone, any positive response they give you, you know why you have that positive response? Not because your hair is just right that day. Not because you just had a breath mint. Not because you shared the exact right words from a gospel tract. But it's because Jesus Christ paid for that fruit. He earned it. He earned that fruit. Be bold in your life because of who Christ is, God's provision in Him, and what He has done for you. You can act boldly because of that. We go forth preaching Christ because Jesus has won the victory. I don't think I've shared this before, but maybe I have, so forgive me. But I remember in college, we went on a mission trip to help a church, and we went door to door. This is in Alabama, and it's still you can still do this in Alabama. I know in New Jersey, it's not safe. People don't like you knocking on their doors. But in Alabama, we went door to door. And I remember I went to a house and knocked on the door. A teenager opened the door, and I said, "Are your parents home?" "Nope." I'm like, "Well, that's not safe. You tell some stranger that." I said, "All right, well, I just want to let you know I'm here with the local church, and we're doing some outreach. Can I ask you just a couple questions?" "Yeah." And I ended up sharing the gospel with this girl, and from everything I could tell outwardly, she was broken over sin. She confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and was saved right there. How do I explain that? Also, I'm a white guy. She was black. And this is Alabama. How do you explain that? Because Jesus Christ won the victory and paid the price for that fruit because of the provision of God. Be bold. Be bold. The fruit is not up to you. Be bold. Just scatter the seed. Yeah, but what if they respond this way or that? Who cares? That's up to Jesus. Let Jesus take care of that. We're just faithful. We're bold because of the provision. And thirdly, we're bold because of God's presence. Finally, verse 9. This is a verse that we learned as a family, and we learned it in song. We wrote a song to remember this verse. And so that's why John's up here. We're going to sing this song for you. You ready? No, we're not. That's completely unplanned. He's terrified right now. I'm being bold. That's right. Just boldly play. So I will not sing the song for you because I cannot sing, but we used a song to learn this verse in our home. Look at verse 9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed." Listen, church, those are commands. God is commanding you not to be frightened. You ever tried to do that with a child when your child's scared? "Look, just stop it." "But I'm scared." "Okay, yeah, I get it. Stop. Don't. Don't be that way." God commands us not to be frightened. You ever been dismayed? God commands us not to be dismayed. How? He wants you to be bold. He wants you to be strong and courageous. But how can He do that? How can He expect us just to choose to be bold? Because of His promise. Because of His provision. And church, because of His presence. His presence. He is with you. He is with you. Who is with you? The Lord. Look at verse 9. "Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God..." When it says "Lord" in all capitals, church, what does that mean? When it's all capitals in your English Bible, it's telling you something very specific. This is the Hebrew word Yahweh. Yahweh is what? That's the Exodus name of God. That's His personal name. This is the Exodus God who conquers His enemies and delivers His people. That's who it is. That God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, that God is with you. So when you're frightened and you're dismayed and God says, "Stop it," how? "I'm with you." "Oh, that's right." What do you have to be afraid of? When I was 14, we moved to Tampa, Florida. I was 14 years old. I'd been in high school in Alabama. All of a sudden, I was in junior high. So I'm already depressed, right? I'm like, high school? No, I'm in junior high. So I'm getting kind of acquainted with all the relationships and all the teenage angst that's going on in the junior high school. And I met this kid, this little kid. He's a little kid, right? And this little kid was the bully of the class. Now, let's go to the next one. When you think of a bully, this is what you think of, right? This is the bully, right? The big kid is the bully. All right, when I went to Monroe Junior High School, the bully was the small kid. Now, doesn't that aggravate you? It aggravated me. But I had sense enough to pause, to go, wait a minute, before I trounce this kid into the ground for trying to bully me, because I could, I was bigger than he was. I'm like, dude, I'm about to just, in a Christian way. I had the sense to go, why is nobody else already done this? And that could have saved my life. The little kid, the small kid, was the bully because his big brother was a really big brother. And his big brother was never far from him. And then it made sense. This was the big brother that had that little dude's back no matter what. I mean, I had a sibling, I had a sister, and if she was bullying and getting in trouble, I would sit back and laugh. Right? I brought it on yourself. Not this guy. If his little brother was getting in trouble, he was there. I knew I could take the little kid, but I knew there was no way I could take his big brother. And so because of that, that little kid was bold. He was bold. I mean, he'd come out and tell you to move. This little kid. How could he be so bold? Because his big brother had his back. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you realize that the sovereign God of the universe has garrisoned your heart? Garrisoned. You know what that means? It means your heart, your life is a fortified position by the sovereign God of the universe. Nothing can happen to you unless He allows it, unless He has a purpose for it. As someone has once said, you are invincible until your work on earth is done. You are invincible. Why are you frightened and why are you dismayed? Be bold. Be bold, church, because of the promises of God. Do you believe in the promise of God? Do you believe it? Do you believe that what He says is true? Act on it. Do you know and believe the provision of God? Do you believe that Jesus has fulfilled everything, all of the law for you, that Jesus has died in your place and risen again? Do you believe it? Trust in Him. Trust Him. Trust. Do you have and believe that the presence of God is with you? Act like it. Act like it. I'm not calling you to bully. I'm calling you to be bold. Listen, one of the things we fear in this country is that there's so many of us in our communities that don't believe in God, that will scoff at you. You believe in those fairy tales? We advertised on Facebook recently as a church, and one of the comments we had was someone trying to mock us for our Christ myth. And so I just engaged him and offered to buy him coffee. Because that doesn't scare me. That doesn't intimidate me. Do you realize that for someone to argue with you about the existence of God is kind of like somebody arguing with you saying they don't believe in air? I don't believe in air. I don't believe air is real. I mean, they literally have to use air to argue with you that there is no air. When someone argues with you that there is no God, they literally are just assuming there's a God. They have to have God to uphold them with everything they do to argue against Him. Be bold. Be bold, church. In your workplace, be bold. Talk about the service today and your workplace this week. Say, hey, you know what we talked about in church? Here, just ask them. You're like, no, you can't talk about religious stuff at work. Really? Can you talk about personal stuff? So just ask them, what'd you do this weekend? I went fishing. Went to a game. Went to a Yankees game. I did this. And they're going to ask you, what did you do? I went to church. And this is what the pastor talked about. Done. Right? Be bold. Invite your coworkers to church. Share a verse that meant a lot to you. Joshua 1:9 is a lot of people's favorite verse. Make up a song. Share that with them. Hey, yeah, the pastor talked about this. Man, I've been dealing with fear lately. And then this verse, man, what do I have to fear? You tell them that. Tell your family members that. Be bold. You are not alone, church. You are not alone. God is with you. And God is going to advance His kingdom and build His church. He's going to do it with you. Listen to me. He'll do it without you. Read the book of Revelation. He'll shut down one church and He'll start five more. New Beginnings, I don't want to be that church that He shuts down. I want to be one of the ones that He builds His kingdom through. Let's advance the kingdom and be bold. Join me in prayer. Father God, we praise You and thank You for this day. We thank You that You have called us into serving You, our great King. We thank You that You have called us into an amazing mission to make, mature, and multiply Your people all for Your glory. So bless us, Lord, as Your church. Help us to know right now Your promises, Your provision, Your presence. You are with us. Help us to be bold. God, what do we have to fear? You are with us. We praise You. Bless us now. I pray that even today, You would advance Your kingdom through Your children here as we go forth to show and share Your love. Lord, we ask that You would do great things through us as we attempt great things for You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.